Infamous Indy presents The Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Malillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions of whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Digging Up Dillinger. Another episode here for you, bringing it to you. We're recording together, like we always do. Todd Hiles, Travis Thompson, Stuart Fillmore, Joe Malillo. I'm your host. And tonight, we have not only one, but we have two guests today. Our own, of course, the nephew of John Dillinger, Mike Thompson.
Great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you. Good to see you, as always. And then we have another guest. And this one's a really special guest because it's our first appearance on the podcast. We all met this weekend. We're going to be talking about what we did yesterday together. She's from Atlanta. She's a current crime scene investigator in her police department. She's part of Nancy Grace's network. She has her own podcast called Zone 7, Cheryl McCollum. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be here with all y'all. Come on.
No, we're happy to have you.
Yes.
She Woo. Is, Stuart, she reminds me of you in the sense that she's, never mind, I was going to say something funny, but she loves John Dillinger from when she was a kid. And Cheryl, yeah. You talked about this weekend. And so your passion for John Dillinger has led you to kind of like meet with Mike and Travis and us this weekend for our little project that we did. Talk about your influence, John's influence, or like when did you really... Like, when was it when you were eight that really got you in it?
Oh, yeah, 8 or 9 years old. So when I was about 4 and 5, my mom would tell these stories of Bonnie and Clyde. And then I guess when she got exhausted with that, she moved to John Dillinger and Babyface Nelson and Machine Gun Kelly and J. Edgar Hoover and everybody. So, you know, she took me to D.C. to see the FBI buildings and took me to see the death car and all sorts of things. So I just had this fascination that they fed, and it just never went away, ever.
Cheryl, it sounds like you and I had almost the same childhood. my experience is almost exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I would even get frustrated with my parents. Like, why are y'all not bank robbers? Like, y'all are choosing to not have money. Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand it, you know. But yeah. It was a wonderful way to me to just learn about American history as well. So, mm-hmm.
Isn't that
which my mother was great about? So it was wonderful.
Yeah, and it led kind of helped catapult, I would assume, your career in law enforcement as well.
No question about it. I mean, I could not wait, you know, to start my career. I couldn't wait to get started, and you know, they wouldn't take me at the academy till I was 21. So I went and worked at the Grady Rape Crisis Center when I was 17 and 18. Because I could work alongside real detectives on real cases with real victims. So I wanted to, you know, get started as soon as I could. So that's what I did.
She sounds more qualified than Stuart. So that's great.
That is not true. Not at all.
Now that we have a real crime scene investigator on the team, Cheryl, you're going to be joining us a little bit more than just maybe one episode. I can see this becoming more of a thing. Tell people a little bit about what you do on your day-to-day as a crime scene investigator.
Well, I mean, I'm on call some, so my general job is any crime that occurs while I'm on duty, I'm the one that responds to it to process the scene. But then I'm on call if something major happens, then I'm going to go in. So anytime you have a kidnapping, sexual assault, homicide, aggravated assault, I go in. It'll be my scene. So that's what I do day to day. And then I have the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute that I run, where we help families and law enforcement across the country with unsolved homicides, kidnapping, and, you know, presumed dead cases.
ColdCaseFoundation.org. You can look them up. if you want to check them out. Again, coldcasefoundation.org. We're going to be starting to really on this podcast promote and make sure people understand the organizations that behind what we do as well at Digging Up Dillinger. So Cheryl's foundation is definitely going to be one of them. You have some experts that you sound like we want to get involved with our case. Mm-hmm. Maybe looking at some DNA evidence, maybe looking at some age progression we were talking about. Is that true? Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one thing that should be done is an age progression. One, it hasn't been done. We should do that. The geographical profile should be done. You know, get somebody to come in there and do a statement analysis of Miss Sage, look at the letters and have somebody analyze the handwriting and just put it all together. I mean, I'm one of those 361 people. You know, you look at something and then just go a little bit further.
Yeah.
And see what all you can connect and what you can put together. And the experts at the Institute, I mean, they're there. They've been vetted. They, you know, work. And the best thing is they will do it because it's the right thing to do. I don't pay any of them, Sugar, you know, because we don't have any money.
You don't pay, you know, so you don't pay them sugar, or you do pay them in sugar. Cookies. And...
I should have hesitated a little bit longer. I don't pay them at all. Sugar. Sugar. Talking to you. But, you know, honestly, they're just tremendous people. And they want to do it because it's the right thing to do if they can help a family. And, you know, once you sit with Mike and Travis, I mean, you know, from this weekend, you just want to keep helping and try to give them some answers if you can.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
There's no doubt. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
And how generous were y'all? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Joe, come on. You're sitting in a situation where you could take this all for yourself and not let anybody else on the dance floor. And you didn't do that.
Yeah,
you were like, yes, come join, have some fun.
Our viewers wouldn't have it any other way. I mean,
that's great.
It's 100 years. It's 100 years. We can't do this anymore by ourselves. Anybody can't do it by themselves. That's why.
But you've got Todd, you've got Stuart, you've got some of the best in the country already.
Hell yeah.
It's the truth. And then when you add the family, I mean, I've never met Travis. I had never had any communication with him. But, I mean, you don't got to spend 5 minutes without falling in love with him. And then Mike, at no time was a disappointment for me. As soon as I got out of the car, it was like a family reunion. So I loved every second
of it. Can you tell my wife that?
Well, let's bring it into what we did this weekend then, because I feel like that's a perfect transition. So for our listeners, we talked about it, and we followed through with it. One of the theories out there is that John Dillinger, imposter or not, the body that was killed at the Biograph Theater on July in 1934 was buried at Crown Hill. After it was buried at Crown Hill, it was exhumed initially, first time, and then reinterred with concrete surrounding it. This is a theory that we've talked about multiple times on the podcast. Now, the other theory isn't that it was reinterred at Crown Hill, but in fact, the body was then moved to another location where the family knew therein lies the fact that nobody would steal it, right? Nobody wanted to take it. You know, nobody would be able to steal it. Even if there was concrete, nobody would get to it and find out that nobody was in there. So the idea is, where was that? Well, a really good thought that Stuart had was, well, why not the family farm? I mean, literally, like, why not the family property? So this weekend, Indiana Canine Search and Recovery, also raising money for Ground Penetrating Radar. Please go to their website. They're raising money right now to get Ground Penetrating Radar, which will help us because they're going to help us do more digging on the property. They took the dogs out, and Cheryl, me, Mike, Travis, and the canine unit, probably 10 dogs, I want to say, maybe 8 dogs, all different kinds of dogs, showed up at 3 p.m. on the family farm property. The owner, we've talked about him all the time, Shane, he was there with his wife, and it was like a family reunion with a bunch of dogs. And we searched the property. The canine cadaver dogs searched the property for, I think it was like an hour total by the time they were done. We were waiting till October because of the weather. We wanted to make sure the dogs didn't get overheated. And it was just something Leah, the founding executive director, really kind of was like, we got to wait. And then she luckily had this weekend. Cheryl had this weekend. I was able to be there, and we were able to get the dogs to it. I'm putting a TikTok together. I'm going to put a little YouTube video. I'll put it on our channel. But that was a pretty cool thing, right, Travis? I mean, didn't you think? Oh,
yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, what did you think?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty cool watching them dogs work. And yeah, it's pretty exciting to see if they found anything.
And the guy, all the handlers, the canine handlers, were as excited as we were about the project as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Seems to be a theme. The two people that weren't here are the Texas Crime Travelers. But
but you're holding us in suspense. Tell us what happened.
So you guys want to know what happened?
We would love to.
Yes. Okay, great. Come back next week. We don't have the results officially in my hand just yet. There's going to be a report, so there is going to be a next week.
Sure.
But the initial thoughts are there was a hit. There was a area in near the hill at a certain area that multiple two, if not three different dogs.
Wow.
Did something. And the way that Leah explained it to me, the founding executive director, the way she explained it to me is she's like, look, this is too old for the dogs to like go and sit on. And you guys know the case, Todd and Stuart and everybody, the case that just dropped about that TikTok lady that found the rug in her yard and started digging it up. And then the dogs went and sat. Like, she was live on TikTok when the cadaver dogs were doing it there.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, to be very clear. Like, we were never going to get a dog sitting at a spot. That was not going to happen.
Okay.
Because the way it's understood is it was too old. The body has been sitting there too long. What turned out was that she called it like a disruption, an interruption for the dog. Like, the dog would be moving and then just kind of be interrupted in what it was doing. And the handlers are obviously trained to be able to recognize that. And Cheryl, am I doing a good job talking about it like that?
Perfect. Yep.
Okay. So yeah. So you guys saw that, Cheryl, Mike, and Travis.
Well, I was standing there talking to Mike and Travis, and that Doberman had my undivided attention. So you're talking about the other 10 dogs. I mean, I watched all of them, but that Doberman was absolutely working. There was no question about it. When she brought the second Doberman and then the third dog, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure exactly what the dog was. It kind of looked like a sheepdog almost.
Yeah, it was a sheep or poodle or something.
Okay.
Golden doodle.
Golden doodle. But yeah, there was no question. And they were off the leash. So they weren't being led in any way. And they all went to the exact same location.
And was this at the same time, or were they done, you know, did they do it at different times?
Different times.
That's even more credible to me.
Wow. I agree. And here's what blew my mind. When we were talking about this, I was expecting two dogs.
Yeah.
And then I saw the first truck. I pulled out and parked behind her. We were chit-chatting. And all of a sudden, two cars, three cars, five cars, six cars. I was so impressed by that because, again, I agree with Stuart. You can't argue one dog, in my opinion.
Right.
But you sure, Lord, can't argue three.
No, that's impressive. Very impressive.
Hey, Joe, off the leash, not being led in any way.
Hey, Joe, just describe how big that piece of property is.
It is, I honestly don't know. Guys.
I think it's, I want to say around 12 to 15 acres, all of it right there where Shane's parents' house is and Shane's house and then the rest of the property right there. Then the actual farm was 80 acres.
Yeah,
it is a bigger.
Are there any original buildings left?
The original house is still there. That's only of the original. The old barn is where Shane's parents' house is just about at. Then there was a smaller barn. It was kind of in between Shane's house and his parents' house. And then they've built some newer houses on behind. And actually the, west end of the Mooresville football field is on part of the property too, and then it goes north. So there was, when my grandfather bought it, there was 80 acres. When he was really looking for John and stuff, and I think my grandfather was needing some money, he sold off 20 acres of it So, so when it was sold, when my grandfather passed, there were 60 acres.
I love the story you told this weekend too. It was an orchard. So like your mom or yeah, maybe it was your mom and your, and
my mom and, her next oldest sister Doris was out walking in the woods and stuff when the family reunion was going on, when they's taking the pictures and seen FBI laying out in the woods and stuff, and went back, and I don't know if they went right up to John, but went up and told my grandfather, and it didn't really bother John. I don't know if he already kind of knew or what, but he just kind of grinned.
Just don't go out in the woods, Johnny. Yeah. Just don't go walking around in the orchard. but yeah, so property wise, couple, you know, at least 12, right? You said, acres.
Yeah, 12 to 15, I'd say, is right there.
But we had access to 12 to 15 of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we walked the perimeter, Todd and Stuart.
Okay.
And we laid out, Shane specifically laid out his property line so we weren't trespassing.
Right.
Or anything, and the dogs were really good. They really focused too on the electric box, the like gray. You guys know what they look like. They're green electric boxes that sit, because you know a lot of the lines and stuff will run, especially downhill, right? The smell or the anything that can detect from the body, left over from the body, would like run down valleys and into right. like areas like that, like creeks, like the creek bed where you guys found. I did see where you guys dug up the map. That was cool, Stuart.
Okay.
Never stepped a foot on that. I think it was the first time I've ever been on Shane's property. So I got a chance to all see right. that.
Yeah. And cool.
Shane brought out the jar and showed everyone.
Yeah.
And what'd you find on the jar, Cheryl, while we're on it?
Well, I found two fibers. They almost looked either like really thin blonde hair or maybe something from a sweater, but there was two, and both were inside the jar, stuck in the mud.
Oh wow.
So you could see it in the wind, but you know, pretty fascinating.
You know, Cheryl, a lot of things that, you know, that you were talking about, some of the ideas about doing, and I mean, finding fibers in the jar is just fascinating. You know, a lot of the analysis, because, you know, we thought this was all going to be part of a television show. And so a lot of stuff just hasn't been done because, you know, we thought, you know, a TV show is going to pick this up and all this analysis and stuff we'll do, you know, live on TV and catch it. So there is so many cool leads that are out there to, you know, to follow up on this stuff. And there's just really no telling what, you know, what secrets are still out there that we can, bring to the surface.
No, that's an excellent point. And one thing Travis and I were talking about is with some of the letters in the 30s, you had to lick those stamps.
Exactly.
There's DNA there.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things you can do. The cufflinks, I know that, you know, Joe was saying maybe he didn't think there would be DNA. I disagree.
I think
when you start working those cufflinks, sometimes you've got to really work that cufflink like you would a button. And in those little nooks and crannies, it could be right there, just waiting to be discovered. Yeah. And Francine Bardole, she knows how to do that. She invented the process. It's literally called the Bardole method.
Wow.
I love it.
I love it.
There's lots we can do.
Yeah. So
especially if those were on the supposed body.
Correct.
There could be blood down on them. Yeah.
We know there is actual footage of Stuart digging that hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We forgot to show you that.
We don't have it, but the production company does have it. And if anybody really sees that, you can pretty much know when you look at that wasn't planted there.
Yeah.
Well,
can I say something about that? Because I don't have a dog in the fight. But there is no way somebody like Stuart is going to plant something. And hear me out. Plant something that he can't interpret.
Exactly. Yes.
That's asinine.
Right.
He would have planted something and go, oh, well, I bet this means so and so.
Yeah, this is going to lead us to this. And wow, look at me. I'm the hero.
Yeah. Yep.
Why would you discover something and then that's it? I don't know what it means.
Is that why you've been asking me for money lately, Stuart? It's because you've been wanting to come in. Really, what's going on? That's great, y'all, Cheryl.
Y'all see how our weekend went? That's what it was the whole time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No, we were on it. Oh. We were on it. We brought out all the stops. I mean, Shane had some other stuff too, but back to the big news here is essentially
Joe. Let me interrupt just real quick.
God, Lee. Okay, fine.
Talking about the jar, just going back to the jar real quick because Cheryl has found these fibers. Also, too, that glass has never been touched because, when we unearthed it, you know, everybody gloved up. So it has not been touched. A really good fingerprint analysis on there is just screaming to happen.
The only thing is, I mean, other than fingerprint, I know there could be contamination because we did empty out a styrofoam cooler to throw it in that day.
True.
So I don't know what kind of cross contaminants we would get there.
Yeah.
Hey, at least we're honest. Captain Morgan.
Because I only had one evidence bag that day. Yeah. And one with them glass shards, it wouldn't have kept it very well anyway.
Yeah. Well, and two, I don't know, you know, if fingerprints would have lasted, you know, for 84 years, on the glass, but it's certainly a surface that would be really good to show up.
Well, you know how people sometimes will grab a glass, you know,
on the inside.
Right. And we know it would stay there. We know
exactly.
It would absolutely be intact. Yes. So, no, I agree.
Yeah. See, so this is great stuff for us. No offense, Cheryl, but you're on the team. You're like, you know, you passed the test.
It was extraordinary, but we hadn't even gotten to something that blew my mind when Shane brings out this scrapbook that he got from somebody else, and I could not wait to mention this to Stuart. But Stuart, I'm just flipping through it, and Mike is there with me, and we're just talking, and I see one article from the newspaper that was printing on the front page 4 or 5 days after the shooting, and it is a straight up reenactment. It tells you, here's Dillinger walking with two women, number one. He passes Purvis, number two. Okay. Then the women break off, number three. Dillinger walks alone toward the alley, and I quote, is met with a hail of federal bullets. Where did they get that except from somebody in the FBI? They wouldn't have known where Purvis was standing. They wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, had to be. Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing, too, is, I've said this many times, you know, the FBI getting Dillinger, the entire brand of the FBI was built on the fact that they got Dillinger.
100%.
So, J. Edgar Hoover, for many, many faults and problems that could make up a whole other podcast, he was actually pretty savvy as far as public relations goes. And so there's no doubt that he, you know, and that's how he utilized to build that FBI brand. And so it's very likely that that's a leak probably straight from the top.
Agree.
Yeah.
How about the fact that Cheryl brought up the fact that it's weird that Purvis was even on the case still.
Yes. I was going to say that.
Purvis was in the doghouse at the time. He had been getting a lot of publicity that really, frankly, kind of overshadowed Hoover.
Sure.
Hoover didn't like that. So Purvis was his title was inspector. There was he outranked Purvis, the guy named Sam Cowley. Samuel Cowley was actually in Chicago, and he was effectively running the Dillinger investigation. And Purvis was still on paper the head of the Chicago FBI office. But he was definitely in the doghouse with Hoover. So, yeah, it is kind of surprising, actually, that Purvis was still on the case at that point.
What I straight up asked was prior and after, how many people screwed up so bad that they shot a civilian and remained at that level?
Exactly.
I bet zero.
Yeah.
So that just kind of always had a flag for me.
What Cheryl's talking about is the Little Bohemia incident where a civilian was killed. The entire Dillinger gang was surrounded, and they all got away. And an FBI agent was killed. it was just a complete and utter disaster. And it's amazing, too, that Hoover kept his job, to be honest.
Agreed.
So, yes. Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, remember a couple episodes ago, we talked about the 25th anniversary, and Purvis had written that account of what happened that night. And in that one, he says that all the FBI agreed never to talk about it. Mm. So we always thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah. It is strange.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they can't talk about it because it wasn't the right person.
Yes, sir. I know Mom talked about John talking to him after when he came home, that when they opened fire on those innocent people, that alerted them, and they went out the window and down and slid out the back.
Yep. Yeah, you know, yep. I've actually been there and kind of stood in the spots where they were, and I think with the exception of Nelson, who actually, you know, shot at them briefly, the whole gang was effectively gone within minutes of, you know, the shots being fired. And then the FBI just held their position all night until the sun came up. And then when they did, everybody was gone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a disaster. But you think about this.
Not everybody. Didn't they leave the women behind? Just to be
clear.
Yeah,
the women. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. The gang members escaped. But if you think about this for a second, to get maybe conspiratorial for a second, that if, in fact, it was an imposter that was killed at the Biograph Theater, think about this. So Hoover and Purvis both have survived barely the debacle at Little Bohemia. Can you imagine, fast forward now, they've killed the wrong guy
right.
at Biograph yes. Theater. What a disaster that would have been. And yeah. So it certainly would be motivation that if it is the wrong guy, we can't let the public know that.
That's why I believe that they got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
That whole reason, if Little Bohemia didn't happen,
yeah,
the theory of him getting away would never be in my mind.
Yeah, exactly. I think it makes it way more credible and at least something to ask the question about.
Yep.
Good. Okay, back to the dogs real quick.
Yeah, let's get back to the dogs, man.
Unless Stuart wants to go back again. Go ahead, Stuart. It's your show. Man, I'm on it today with you, bud. I'm just kidding. We all love Stuart. God, man, how much do we love you? If you didn't find that fucking map, it would be half a show.
I know, that's the whole point. It's the whole thing.
Yeah. You're the guy. I mean, you're just...
You know, that's not the spot they wanted him to look at.
No.
That's right.
He kind of... looked over and thought that spot was probably least disturbed, and it was marked, and it was, because it was over on the edge of that.
I love
it. So if Paul go, no, we're going to go over there, we've never found it.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that we were at the Dillinger Farm because Paul initially wanted to go to Little Bohemia to do this, shoot this sizzle reel. And I said, you know, I think a more logical place, if Dillinger's going to bury loot, I mean, we know that he went back home. We know he went back to the family farm from time to time. But Little Bohemia is so remote and so far out of the way. You know, the odds of him going back, putting something there that he wants to come back to, maybe. But I said it's more likely that it would be at the family farm. He can trust, you know, who's there. And it's a safe place. And so I think, actually, Paul didn't go there on my suggestion, but what ended up happening, the discussions with Little Bohemia fell through. So then the family farm was the backup plan. But
looked better and better. Yeah. Yeah.
Meant to be. Meant to be.
That was brilliant.
Great tidbit there. Yeah, because standing in that farm, you're kind of thinking, I'm thinking, golly, man, give me. How much time do I got to dig in here? Because literally, we could find more and more. And Shane is just sitting by and being like, "Yeah, go ahead, you go find go find something for me, go find my treasures." Yeah. So we spent a good amount of time on the property, and you know, there's some wooded area. Obviously, there's that kind of ravine area with a little bit of woods, but really it's, you know, it's pretty developed. There's like a apartment complex nearby. There's, you know, fences and stuff. But over by Shane, and we saw Shane starting to sweat a little. He was getting a little nervous when they were starting to hit over there. Well, he actually,
you know, them dogs walking around
and on his car.
Yeah, he's, we said, man, how did you forget where you put it, bud?
I just asked him. I haven't been paying that much attention to news. Is there a board member missing?
That's right. He was a good sport about it all, and his wife was there, and she was a really good sport. And, you know, in the end, there was no, like, hey, by the way, I think you should call police, because they would have done that if they felt like it was something necessarily, right, guys? They said that? So
they did.
Yeah. If it had been something they thought was pretty fresh or.
Yeah. So whatever it is, it's old enough where it's, you know, the jurisdiction is over, the or the timeline for it is over. But I'm going to get the full report. We're going to get more information about exactly what was what is in the report. And Leah's going to let me know. And it sounds like she wants to go back. She was pretty adamant, like,
oh, yes, she was.
I think
yes,
we should come back.
Oh, yeah. She said she'd be glad to come back.
All right. And Joe, can I just say one thing historically? If you look at the house that's still there, as the crow flies, you go up a hill. It's almost where you think somebody would bury a family member on a farm.
I agree. I felt that from the first time I saw it as well. Yep.
I wonder how accurate the spot is versus like up, you're saying up the hill, because I feel like there was more walk up the hill. Like it, where they were hitting was kind of at the bottom, which makes sense for it to run down over time. Yeah. So I feel like it'll be interesting to see what the report says in terms of,
you know,
what it is and where and where the next round is. But again, we go to the family farm not expecting anything, and literally something happens and we're like, okay, you know, another one.
Well, I got a question for Mike. If so, your mom is living at that farm when he could have been buried out there.
Do you
think that she would have known that? Would her parents have told her that?
She was 12 when he supposedly got killed, so I don't know if they would have let her know that they was going to put him there or not, since her being 12. And Doris would have been 16, so I don't know if they'd would have let them know, just because they didn't want anybody to really know where he's at and stuff, so I doubt they would have let the younger ones know.
That's a convenient answer, Mike. I like that answer. Keep that definitive stuff out of here. I would say, yeah, that's a good question, Todd. And you don't think, like, there's no, I mean, what do you, what, I'm going to leave it to the crew. What do you all think? I mean, if you had to keep a secret like that, you would never let it slip. I mean, you guys know this, Todd and Stuart and Cheryl, like from a criminal's perspective, like it's hard to keep a secret no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that would have known were probably John's brother and the older sister, right? And dad.
I would say if any of them knew, Audrey, Hubert, and my grandfather.
Would have been
the ones. Yeah.
And if they would have done that, a barn would have been blocking the view of what they were doing.
Well, that
it'd have been behind the orchard the barn
and stuff. Yeah, the sure. orchard.
I thought the barn, if you're looking at the house straight on from the street, right?
There's one big barn, and then there's another one over towards where Shane's house was.
The barn, the barns would have been more kind of straight back from the house, but the orchard would have been on that side, which would have been blocking that view going up towards that.
We'll just find a cross with the name John.
You would think there would have been some kind of a marking so they knew there were some kind of, you know, something they knew where he was exactly was at.
It was just a thing that said Old Bessie.
Yeah.
You know, an indescript.
Or did after great grandfather passed, did one of the family members remove that marker?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a marker easily found. It just been some kind of a landmark that
the ones would have
known.
I think it's a natural marker. I think it's a big rock or something like that.
Yep.
That you would ignore.
Yeah. And then over the years, it could have got moved.
So you know, right in the middle of that orchard, there was a flat rock that the grass had not overgrown.
Yes.
And, you know, we actually, with the help of Mike running the backhoe, we dug pretty deep right in that spot. Back in 20, was that in 20 or 21?
21, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we got down there 8 feet or so, you know, so we thought that that rock was going to be the marker, but it, you know, might have been a marker for something else, maybe several paces from there.
Wait, so the rock, right? Like, let's just say this is the top view of the rock. Did you like go on one side 8 feet, or did you like go? Oh, did you just dig it up?
Just dug it up. I mean, basically, imagine a World War One trench.
Yeah,
that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. And there was nothing in there.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart, do you remember how far that marker was from where we found the map?
Because
it wasn't that far from it.
No.
Maybe 10 paces.
Yeah.
And it was right in the middle of what would have been the orchard.
Yeah, it was right out in the middle.
Guys, when I think orchard, in my mind, I'm thinking the apple orchards I've been to pick, right? Are we talking the whole 80 acres back then?
No. We had a lot of plowed ground and
just that one area north of the house, of the farmhouse.
Okay. And how many acres do you think the orchard was?
Maybe one.
How about this? Just draw a map of what you think, and everybody come next week and we'll present our maps on what we think. No, because don't we have the aerial view of what it was?
Yeah. Well, there's an aerial view from 1939.
Okay,
so that's how we know it was an orchard. It's referred to in an FBI report as well.
Can you obviously send that, Travis or Stuart?
Sure,
or Mike, whoever has that aerial.
Yeah, Scott, you know, that Umstead that you know we worked with previously. Scott did a lot of work to get that photo enhanced.
Oh yeah,
where you know you can clearly see it. It was an orchard.
Great. We'll get that because I think our viewers and listeners would like that. So all this digging talk and the property talk. I mean, we've been re-energized in this. I mean, we've been doing this, Cheryl, for a while where it's us, the crew, and we're just kind of like, you know, we're really just presenting every piece of evidence we have to our listenership.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're a new vision. What do you think? We're on the right track? Do you see this stuff going in the right direction? Obviously you have a crime scene investigator eye and mind to this. What's your opinion on what we're doing?
I think not only are you doing it the right way, you're taking your time and you're making sure you understand what something means before you go to the next step. I think that's the most important thing. So again, do the fibers mean anything? I don't know. Is there a fingerprint on the inside of that jar? It's worth looking. And even if it's a smudge, could we possibly still get something from it? I think so. Yeah. It's worth trying. You know, the map, everything's worth trying. The stamp, the handkerchief, all of it is worth it. Every bit.
Yep.
And there's, you know, there's an old saying from the, you know, Army when they're searching, if they don't find something, then they know where it's not. And that's important too.
Good point.
Yep. There's no failure.
What's the point of us doing a DNA on the handkerchief? Just to confirm that it was his?
Yes. If it's his blood and that's what he had on him at the time.
Sure.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, but, you know, to me, ground penetrating radar at Crown Hill on plot 44, I'd be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
You own that land. You don't have to get permission to run that.
Yeah.
And if you see that, yeah, there's a slab there. Is it, you know, concrete? Okay, but what if it's not? What if you see, you know,
that's
something
cool.
else?
Yeah.
You know, and I think you're doing not only the right thing, I think, again, the people you have assembled, Todd knows what he's doing. Stuart knows what he's doing. Good Lord. Travis, I mean, you got another federal person there. Plus, Mike has lived this. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable thing. And I've heard you say, you even said it Saturday, I'm nothing. I'm just a, you know, TV reporter. Let me tell you something. TV solves cold cases. And if I was wrong, y'all wouldn't know who Walsh was. But when you have America's Most Wanted, he's caught more people than the FBI from wanted posters.
Yep.
So TV works. What you're doing is so valuable.
Great. Yep. Well, in that case, I'll take all the credit. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
That's how you do it right there.
We just care. I think we care more.
Here's
than
to you, Joe.
Oh, hell, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
Just like an FBI agent.
Salute, brother. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we do usually drink, Cheryl, too. We do have a couple drinks. At
I
least.
Came prepared. I heard.
Yep. Stuart likes to put on.
I just got water. Drinks.
Oh, really?
Right.
The Tennessee water. We're pushing on the end here. So we're going to kind of follow up or finish up with today's episode, but we're going to have more. Obviously the report's coming. We have some ideas this week, but also Cheryl, please tell people that are listening what you plan to do with what we did this weekend for your connections.
Well, I am going to write an article for Crime Online, and hopefully that will go live on Friday. So I'm going to go into a lot of detail of what I saw, what I heard, you know, what I think was really important, and we'll see. But I'm going to put it all out there and put some of the pictures that I took and let all the people that I know about it.
Yeah, we're going
to. Awesome. That is awesome. We appreciate
that.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. It was extraordinary. And I'm going to say again, the generosity. I mean, y'all were like, come on.
We call it, come party with us. We call it Hoosier hospitality, Cheryl.
That's it.
It was wonderful. And I'm telling you, Travis and Mike took such care and concern to show me everything. I mean, he was even late to his granddaughter's birthday. Come on. What do you do with that? Enough. But just feel, you know, honored. I mean, I'm honored to talk to y'all tonight, but I think there's some good stuff coming. I think what y'all have already done is unbelievable.
Thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely.
We really appreciate your input.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
No, yeah, we're going to have you back on. I mean, you can be on every episode. I don't really care. She's got great insight.
Anytime.
So anytime. When we just, we'll continue to go. We'll hopefully the Crime Online, the article, we'll make sure to post on our socials. I'm putting together a little TikTok about this weekend. We did go live on TikTok. So, you know, it's kind of random when we go live. Like, I'm not really leading people into it. So obviously our listeners, if you guys care, you know, obviously message me and say, hey, or, you know, let us know. But you can sign up for our newsletter on our Linktree, right? Linktree/DiggingUpDillinger. And you can sign up and I'll start sending emails and text messages soon to let our community kind of know what's going on. But the Crime Online story, we'll be posting it. I'm sure Mike will repost it on Facebook, of course. And Mike, you're big on Facebook, buddy. People love you. Everybody knows you. So we'll make sure to keep that going.
Legend online.
I would concur with that. So we have a lot of things coming, and then obviously we'll bring you any updates as we go. Guys, any kind of last thoughts on Canine Cadaver Dog Weekend 2024?
I think it's awesome. Yeah, I love it. Job. I love good it. Job, great job. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We really appreciate it.
We got some more digging to do.
Well, you know, I do know where the bolt is that Dillinger used to attack Frank Morgan with. That's something that's still out there to get. Mm. So yeah.
It buried on the property.
Well, so here's the short story. I was out there digging by myself, I had a hit with a metal detector, and I kept digging, and I'm just getting this really super strong hit with the metal detector. Keep digging. So I get down about 4 feet, and it's hot, and I finally find what the metal detector's alerting, and I pull it out, and it's this bolt. And I was hot, sweaty, and I was thinking I would have a machine gun here, and I just said, oh, it's a damn bolt. And threw it back in the ground and covered it back up. And then later on, it hit me. Oh, my God. Why would a bolt be buried that deep? And it was on the northern edge of where the orchard was. And why would a bolt be buried that deep? Unless, was that the bolt that Dillinger used when he attacked Frank Morgan? So yeah. I don't know if we'll be able to definitively say that it was, but it sure is circumstantially pretty compelling, I think.
Even the best can screw up and put evidence back.
I know right where it is, too.
Yeah.
The church where John attempted to rob Frank Morgan right behind, that church is now for sale. So it's, I think we should make that that should be our Dillinger headquarters.
There you go.
Okay, folks. Merchandise sales. We would need a little bit of merchandise sales to buy a church, but
a little bit.
We can try.
I am St. Michael.
Yeah.
They might want to donate to us, you know.
Right, exactly. Donate to the church, to our nonprofit. Hey, that may be a lead to tell you guys something coming up soon. So we'll leave it there. Some developing from a merchandise perspective. So thank you guys. This is awesome. As always, this week was really fun. We will see you next time. Okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Everybody, as always, like I say, keep on digging. We'll see you next time.
Keep digging.
Bye. The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.